ever really done this. I normally don't preach two messages in a row as close together, but the last time that we covered this, we had a snowstorm, and I think the storm warning ended at like 6 o'clock p.m., and we just decided to go ahead and have service, and if you could make it, you could make it. And of course, I think we had one sound man. I don't know if we had anybody in the overhead, or there's no one in the recording, and it was just kind of a real slim crowd. So I had been asked numerous times to repeat this message. So if you're keeping notes tonight and you are keeping notes in our series on maintaining spiritual focus, the power of a focused life, we talked about vision and how that in order to have vision, you have to have focus. We have to stay focused. We talked about focus. We talked about faith. If you remember, faith was God and family first and others before yourself, cutting out distractions, unplugging as often as you can, and simplifying your life. And I've talked with a number of you over the last few months, and you've started to implement some of these areas, some of these points into your life. And then we had some tacked on here at the end, and one of the things we tacked on the end was goal setting, on how to reach and obtain your goals. And goals are basically a map that will guide us toward our God-given purpose. We all have a purpose, and without setting goals, without setting them, we will oftentimes wander in circles, and we will really go nowhere in a hurry. I mean, weeks can come and weeks can go, and before you know it, months and years of your life have gone past, and you have not accomplished what you want to accomplish, and it's all because of the lack of setting goals. Now, understand one thing, that setting goals is not an unspiritual aspect of life. There's nothing wrong with setting personal goals. There's nothing wrong with setting goals perhaps maybe on your job or goals in your marriage, goals in your family and such. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's okay to go ahead and plan and set aside time and such. And we as God's children, we should take and wait for God to lead us in some areas of our life and understand that God doesn't want us to take and just forge ahead without consulting Him for a direction. A lot of times we set spiritual goals in our lives and we really don't ask God or get God's a take on some of our goals. And hopefully that by the end of tonight we can pull some of this together and better assist you in where God wants us to go. Because God has given each and every one of us specific gifts and specific talents, and He has called on us to do good works. We can read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, and Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, and Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30 as references to go back to and read and study in those areas. So forging ahead without seeking God or sitting back and doing nothing can stem in our life can stem from two things. It can stem from fear because we're afraid, and it can also stem from lack of faith. The Bible says that to every man is given a measure of faith, and we need to take that measure of faith and we need to apply it in all areas of our lives. However, when it comes to goal setting and consulting with Jesus Christ, He shows us that we must trust Him and believe that He is able to lead us while we are still in a forward-moving position. A lot of times we say, well, I'm moving forward. Because I'm moving forward, that must be good enough. But are we moving forward? And are we moving forward at the pace God wants us to move forward? And are we obtaining the objectives that God is desiring for us to obtain? So the revealing of God's will in our lives can be very limited, as understanding God doesn't show you everything at once. Case in point, when we look at a map, a lot of times, and I've said this, And we're going to talk about this a little bit more when we talk about our purpose coming up here within the next couple weeks. But when we look at a map, we can look from here to Chicago. We can look from here to San Diego. We can even look from here all the way up to Barrows, Alaska, and we can plot out with a map or a GPS to get us where we want to go. It doesn't always work that way with God. God doesn't start off and saying, listen, I want you to go to Barrows, Alaska. You know what God's going to show you? God's going to show you your own front door. And that's all. And then when you get to that front door, it's going to be a step of faith to step through that door. So you step through that door, and then God will show you the end of your driveway. And you get to the end of your driveway and you say, which direction, God? And God will show you the direction you need to go. And if you're standing at the end of my driveway, it's just road as far as I can see. I don't know if one side is a dead end or one side isn't. One side is a dead end. The other side is a dead end also. And I have to make decisions. And that's how God works in our lives. God doesn't just say, listen, I'm taking you all the way to Nome, Alaska, and here's the plan. Get in your car and go. So a lot of times God reveals his will in our lives, and it's limited. So a lot of times, so what happens is we go from point A to point B, and we may not be able to see what point, or may not be able to see what is at point C, but his will in our lives is a progressive will. So over time, our goals may change, and we have to understand that what it took us to get to the front door won't be the same that it takes us to get from the end of the driveway to the next intersection. It's a different path. We're taking a different mode of travel. It's a different level of faith. All different types of things come into play. So we have to ask ourselves in this, his will is progressive. So over time, our goals may change. So goals should be a motivation for us in fulfilling God's plan for our lives. So we have to ask ourselves, what goals motivate us? What goals motivate you? I can tell you right now that the paycheck that comes at the end of every week is a big motivation for most of us to continue going to work. Is that or is that not a motivation for most of us? Because when we drive by the restaurant, the grocery store, and the gas station, it's that paycheck that motivates us, because if we don't have the paycheck, then we can't put gas in the car, and we can't put groceries on the table, and we can't make our house notes, and we can't do all of these various things. So a goal should motivate us and provide vision for our future. Your goals should keep you on a path of eternal life. That simply means your goals need to have a God center to them. Physical goals should complement our spiritual goals. Understand that. So there's nothing wrong with making physical goals, but those goals should complement our spiritual goals. And then we have life goals. So when we look at life goals, that's applying your vision to each specific area of our lives. So when we look at our lives, you know, what I want to do in 3 weeks is going to be a whole lot different of goal setting than what I want to do in 3 years. So we break our goals down, and I break my goals down into long-term goals. These are goals that I would like to accomplish between now and 10 years from now. These are goals that require a lot more planning and a lot more effort to get to, but nevertheless, if you don't write them down and you start and you don't make those daily decisions, you're never going to get there. Then you have short-term goals. These are goals that generally for me are in a 3 month to 3 year range. You may say, well, a 3 year range, a 3 year goal is kind of out there a little ways. Listen, 3 years can go by very, very quickly. Try saving up for a house. You know, if you're gonna, if you want to start a family and you start the discussion as a young couple on, well, you know, should we have kids? Should we not? You finally decide to have kids. So that's a 6-8 month decision process. Listen, it's going to be 9 months minimum before that baby gets here. Best case scenario. And then you got all the things that has to happen with setting up a nursery and all. Listen, 3 years can go by fast. So, if you don't write things down, if you don't keep track of things, time can get away from you. And having godly goals will help us keep us focused on the true purpose of that goal. You see, the reason God called us now and God will act, so God calls us now and God will add the physical blessings of our goal process in the balance. So to get where you believe God wants you to go and to be what you know God wants you to be, goals have to start with some kind of a dream or a vision. Now, I'm not talking about that you're sitting in your living room chair and all of a sudden, you know, you're going to this trance and you see angels coming in front of you and they're passing in front and around and about you and they're leaving, you know. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about dream and vision, okay? Now, you may have had one of those, and if you did, you better. There's some significance behind it, I guess, what I'm trying to say, if God spoke to you in a way like that. But goals start with the dream, a vision, and to accomplish them, it takes a life of focus in order to see them come to fruition. I've seen so many people that have given up on dreams and given up on vision for their life simply because they've just become unfocused, and they lose focus, and what used to matter to them no longer matters anymore and such. So reading from Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 3, it says, "Wherefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, so easily causes us to lose our focus, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out or set out for us." Listen, life is a race. And I've said this before, I'm not running your race and you're not running my race. But we are in a race tonight. And Philippians 3, chapter 3, verses 12 through 16 says, Not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind, and I strain or I press forward to what is ahead. I press toward the goal to win the prize. And what's our ultimate prize? Heaven. I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I believe that there's so many people that go through life aimlessly, many without even recognizing that they're in a race to run at all. One that requires that we engage in order to run this race and run this race successfully. We must engage in some goal setting and training in order to make it to the finish line. Goal setting, spiritual goal setting, excuse me, will help us achieve our God-given potential. Goal setting, this is a write-down point here. Goal setting keeps us from wasting time. Listen, we can waste a lot of time. And if you set goals and you write them down, Ephesians 5:16 tells us that we're supposed to be smart about the way we use our time. Each and every one of us, we have the same number of minutes in every day. You don't have any more than I have or any less than I have. And each one of us has one lifetime. Our lifetimes varies. My lifetime may be 72 years. Your lifetime may be 80 years, or it may be 28 years. I don't know that. You don't know that. So we don't know how many. We all are given the same amount of minutes and the same amount of hours in a day, but we're not all guaranteed the same amount of years in our lives. So we have to take and figure out what is going to be the most productive and what I can do that is most fruitful with my life. I don't know about you, but I want to make a difference in my life. I want to make a difference in those that are around me, but I also want to enjoy life. I don't want to go through life just being bummed out all the time. So many people are just bummed out all the time going through life. They're not happy about anything. Everything in their life just stinks royally. Listen, you don't have to go through life that way. Doesn't have to be that way. I want to set goals and I want to go places. I want to see things and have experiences that are going to challenge me. I like to be challenged. I also like to be rewarded at times with some of those challenges. That's why we go on some of our challenge things that we challenge ourselves physically and spiritually to. There's a reward for that. And life is supposed to be fun. Now, I understand that not everything in life and every day in life, that everything is just fun, hilarious, like comedy. I mean, life can have its serious moments, and life can have its fun moments, but life is designed to be challenging, rewarding, and fun, and setting goals helps us to overcome those or any distractions in our lives, because distractions is what really is the death spiral of your dream. So how many of us are willing to admit right now that when we sit here that there are projects that we have at home that we have had on our goal sheet to do for weeks and months? I've got a couple projects that I'm going on 2 years now. And I told my wife, I said, this is getting done this year. This is getting done. I'm finished with getting everything else done but this. And so I put it high on my priority list. And in order to get it done, then that means I have to make provisions to get it done. So I've started making the provisions to get those things done. Goals, sometimes these, as I've said, these unfinished projects can drag on. And one thing about setting goals, it simplifies our decision-making process. When you set a goal to do something, it simplifies all of the decision-making because you said, when I leave here tonight, I'm going to go to Culver's with Jason Brose and his family. Okay? We've already set that up, okay? It's been a goal for a couple weeks now. Now, the reason my decision-making process is simple and it's not whether we're going to go here or go there or who are we going to go out with after church is because we set some goals 2 or 3 weeks ago to make this happen tonight. So we're going to do it tonight. Now the only problem is going to be is who's going to buy. Jason's already said, you know me, man, I'd buy you Culver's. Setting goals will produce persistence and determination. When you set a goal and it's something that is a heartfelt goal, it's going to produce inside of you and I persistence and determination. Now we find if we go into the Old Testament, there's a very unique story that I want to share with you. And it's oddly enough, it sheds some light on how we need to set goals in the modern busy world that we live in. So we're going to go back about 3,000 years to learn how to set goals in the modern busy age that we live in. So I'm going to be reading. It's a story that's found in Genesis chapter 24. It covers pretty much the whole chapter, so we're going to kind of pop in and out of the text tonight. So I'm going to start reading in Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. It says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Now, what does this have to say about goals? Well, point number one is we have to determine our present position. Where are we presently? I understand if you're well stricken in age and you're old, maybe you're 90 years old, setting 20-year goals probably are going to be a little unrealistic. If you want to climb Mount Everest, you probably should have set that goal back a few decades ago. So we have to determine where are we right now in our lives? Where am I right now in my life? And you've got to know where you are before you can determine where you're going to go. That makes really, that's just simple sense, doesn't it? And you have to ask yourself two questions. So where am I now? And when you ask that question, where am I now, you have to take into some considerations in where am I now. Where are you now spiritually? Where are you now financially? Where are you now emotionally? Where are you now relationally? Where are you now physically? And where are you now occupationally? And you say, well, what does all this have to do? It has a lot to do when you start setting long-term goals. And then, what would I like to change in all of these areas that we identified? What would you like to be different? So if you look at yourself and you say, I'd like to be a lot more spiritually, then you need to underline spiritually. If you'd like to be a lot more financially stable, then you might want to take and put a line or circle your finances. Perhaps you have emotionally, you're struggling in some areas. Your relationship physically, maybe you've got some physical issues that your doctor's telling you need to exercise to help get you through some of these issues that you have. And the only way you're going to get through them is to exercise, or maybe your occupation, maybe your job just stinks and you hate it and you want something different. You got to know where you're starting at. So when we move on into this story in Genesis 24, we can begin to read in verses 3 and verses 4. And it says, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites whom, or among whom I dwell. So here we have Abraham. He's living in the land of the Canaanites. And he says, you know what? He's in a process of picking out a wife for his son. This is how they used to do it in those days. And he says, but thou shalt go unto my country and my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now, this is pretty plain. So in order to get where we want to be, we need to describe exactly what we want. So here Abraham is having a conversation with his servant, a very well-trusted man of his household, a man of prestige that he trusts with this task of going into his home country and selecting a wife for his son. That's somebody you put a lot of trust into. His servant's name is Eleazar. So he says, I want you to go and I want you to pick out a woman for my son. And he says, I don't want you to get a wife from her, from any of the sons, from the Canaanite girls. Instead, I want you to go back to the land of my relatives and I want you to find a wife for my son. So in order to get where we want to be, we need to describe exactly what we want. So Eleazar understands in order for him to accomplish this goal that has been given to him by his master or his boss, Abraham, he understands there's going to be some very selective processes and there's going to be some travel involved. So understand, unless you are specific with your goal, you'll never reach a vague goal. Because you'll never know when you get there, and when you get there, you won't know what you're looking for. It needs to be specific. I've prayed, and I said, God, I've prayed some specific goals, even down to dates, and said, Lord, I need this by this date. You understand the situation that we're in. And when we are specific about our goals, it's amazing how specific God can be in his answering of them. You'll never reach a vague goal. The more specific it is, the more power that goal will have in your life. You want powerful goals? Have very specific goals. So ask yourself these four questions when you're asking, laying out specifics. What do I want to be? What do I want to be? What do I want to do? Man, I remember going through junior high and we had to sit down with a guidance counselor in seventh grade. And they're already telling you, you know, you need to, what do you want to do as a career? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. Eighth grade, I didn't have a clue either. I didn't know in eighth grade. I didn't know in ninth grade. I didn't know in 10th grade. I didn't know in 11th grade. I graduated from high school not having any idea what I was going to do. And I really didn't care. Just too much pressure. Well, that's why I stumbled around for a number of years until I finally settled in. So what do I want to do? What do I want to have? You see, part of the problem we have with our generation today is everybody wants to have everything, but they don't want to do anything to get there, and they don't have any clue what they want to be, but they want everything. And that's a problem. And then you got to ask yourself this determines the motive behind your goal. Why do I want this? Why do I want this? You see, it's just not knowing the what. We need to know the why. That's our motivation. And if you don't know the why, you're going to give up when it starts to get tough. So when Eliezer heard Abraham's goal, he started asking, what if? If you listen to the what ifs of your goals, you will fail because you will fall into worrying and fear. Worry and fear are two things that will just bury your goal. Goals, listen, if you're setting life-term goals and you can, and they're easy for you to accomplish, that's not a goal. That's just a task. Some of my goals that I have set, I can only get there with the help of God. And you need to have some goals in your life that make you afraid of trying. That's where faith comes in. You got to have some of those stretching goals, some of those faith goals that you don't have any idea how you're going to get there. But God will begin if you stay true and you don't allow worry and fear to take over in your life. It's going to be a wild ride. So listen, you don't need to focus on the how for right now, because you know once you figure out the why, God will begin to reveal to you the how. There are a lot of goals I set in my life that I had no idea how I was going to accomplish it. I knew why, but I didn't quite know how. And God began to reveal and open up doors of opportunity, and He began to reveal to me how He was going to do this. And He will help you. He will help you solve the problems that stand in the way of your goals, whether they're financial goals, whether they're spiritual goals, whether they're secular or spiritual. It doesn't matter. If your goals have the right motivation behind them, God doesn't want you to be broke in a job you hate. He doesn't. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless you. But the reason why so many times we don't get those blessings is because we're not following the right paths that puts us in contact with those blessings. Number three, look for God's promise. God has so many promises in His Word. If it has God in it, if your goals have God in it, look for Him in it. So many times we just say, well, this is a spiritual goal. Then if it's a spiritual goal and it's a God-given goal, something you feel that is a destined from God, a purpose for your life, look for God in it. If He's not in it, then maybe you're going down the wrong path. If God's in it, you will bump into Him all along your journey. Abraham said, the Lord of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the hand of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angels before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Genesis 24:7. So when you set a goal, immediately our mind first begins to think about the problems in this. Okay? Every goal that you set is going to have problems to overcome. Don't focus on the problem, focus on the promise. Okay? So many times we just get bogged down in the problem without looking at the promise. Find the promise in God's word that will line, that lines up and will take you and be a partner with you until you receive or you fulfill that goal in your life. This is what Abraham does with Eliezer. His servant starts to worry about accomplishing the goal that he's given. And Abraham tells Eliezer about the promise that he received from God. He said, listen, don't worry about this. Let me tell you about the promise that I had from God. He being God sent an angel before me, and he can do the same thing for you. He'll send someone before you that will help you to find a wife for my son. You see, you don't need an angel all the time. Sometimes we feel like, and I've prayed, Lord, I need an angel to help me out here. Because God says, you know what? I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'd rather have God with me. Wouldn't you rather have God with you? God is always going to be with you. Pause. Exclamation point. Parentheses. Whether you feel him or see him or not, he will be with you. Sometimes he's very quiet. Sometimes we get too noisy and we can't hear the voice of God, but he is there. All we have to do is plug into that power. The size of your God should determine the size of your goals. And godly goal setting always starts with the promise of God. Don't look at our limitations. Don't look at your limitations. Look at the promises. Listen, there's over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. So you might not know where to turn, but he has a promise in his Word to supply every need that we have. You may have a need for an automobile. Now, there's not going to be a promise in the Bible that said God's going to give you a Chevy pickup. Okay? There won't be one in there that says he's going to give you a Ford or a Dodge. You shouldn't have said that, Brother Dave. But God says he will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. He's going to give you a Toyota. Now you got something dependable. Notice how that God has obligated himself. Understand this. God, he obligates himself only to the extent of our needs. And salvation is a need. Healing is a need. Food, clothing, shelter, companionship, love are all needs that are supplied by our God in glory, by Jesus Christ. Now we're talking about needs here. We're not talking about luxuries. There's a difference between a need and a luxury. Okay? Luxuries are not a need. In America, we think if we don't have a hot tub and we don't have smartphones and we don't have the latest digital this, digital that, that we are poor. That is a luxury, folks. God has promised that his children will not be overtaken with temptation. Instead, he assures us that he will make a way of escape for us. We read in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God has even promised us victory over death. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received. Now that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And later he adds in verse 57, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." God has promised that all things will work together for good to those who love and serve him faithfully. So stop worrying so much about accomplishing your goals or your visions. Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Now, it may be difficult at times for us to see and understand how this is accomplished at times, but God has promised it, and he will deliver it. God has promised us eternal life in John 10, 27, and 28. God has so many promises, which leads us into our step number four, and that is we need to ask God to help us on our journey. God is a personable God. He can be one thing to me and something totally different to you. And that's the thing about God. In step four, in Genesis 24, 12, he says, and he said, "Oh, Lord God of my master Abraham." So he's praying. He says, "I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham." Once you found your promise in God's word, you need to pray and ask God for success, just like Eleazar did there in Genesis 24, 12. If it's really okay to pray for success, as long as you're not praying for successes, when we look at the alternative, I've heard people say, "Well, I don't know if I should pray to be successful." So you're going to pray to be a failure? What's your alternative here? Sometimes we think, when we think about, I think about this, well, if it's God's will that they're healed, well, so that means it's God's will that they die? Sometimes when we just trip our brain up sometimes over our lack of faith in some areas, and God's saying, "Yes, I want you to be a success. I want my children to be success stories, not a bunch of failures." Well, you don't want to come to our church because we're just all a bunch of losers and failures over here because we don't believe in success. No. Eleazar clearly shows us it's okay to ask God for success in accomplishing a goal as long as our motives are pure. When your success helps people and it honors God, then praying for success does not become a selfish act. It means that you're a good testimony. In fact, what does Paul tell when he writes to the Hebrews in Hebrews 4:16 in the NLT? He says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it." If you study Genesis 24 further, you'll find that Eleazar prayed during his entire mission. He was constantly praying, asking God. In verse 12, he prays before he starts. He arrives there in Nahor. In verse 15, in verse 52, in front of Rebekah's family, that as far as we know, they have they know very little or nothing about Abraham's God, about Jehovah God. He prays in front of Rebekah's family. So the question I'm asking you today is, are you praying about your goals? Are you praying, and how much time do you spend praying about your future? Are you praying about your dreams, or are you just kind of keeping that to yourself? You see, understand your prayers, when you begin to pray, they're going to reveal a couple things. If you never pray about them, they're not very high on your priority list. Okay? How often you pray about a goal determines how high it is on your list of priorities. If you don't pray about them, you really don't care about them. If you only pray about them once, and then you don't pray about them again, maybe they're more just a desire and a whim than they are a real, factual, actual goal. The other thing your prayers reveal is how much you're depending on God to reach your goals. There are some goals. Listen, if you can get to it yourself without God's help, as I said, more than likely it's just going to be an extended task. But if you never pray about your goals, you never pray about your job, you never pray about your finances, then you're not depending on God in any of those areas of your life. So determine, the more we depend on God, the more we pray. So determine your present position. Decide what you want. Find a promise from God to hold on to. Claim it and ask God to help you get there. Step number five is, you know, in any goal that you have, there's going to be barriers. There's going to be problems. The servant said to him in Genesis 24:5, this is paraphrased, what if the woman that you meet doesn't want to return back with you? I don't know about you, how you would feel, but if you got a beautiful daughter and somebody knocks on your door and says, my master sent me from far away, I think your daughter's beautiful and I want her to come back to this faraway land with me, like right now. What would you think? You would think, are you kidding me? What planet are you from? So that's kind of a big barrier. That would be a big barrier for me. I don't know about you, but if I was in Eleazar's, that would be a barrier. That would be a big roadblock. Maybe in your life, it's financial or relationship problems, or maybe it's an education problem that's holding you back. For some people, it's emotional barriers. They're afraid to make that step. And a lot of times, we sabotage our own success because we simply think that we're not worthy of it. Did you hear that? Whatever your barrier is, we need to identify it before we can move forward. In Genesis 24, Eliezer had a number of barriers in his way of finding a wife for Isaac. He had to figure out how to get to this country he had never been to. He had to find the right woman he had never met. And he had to convince her to go back with him to a country she had never been to and marry a complete stranger who's friend. Now, these are barriers. And he had to convince her parents. It would be like Mission Impossible all over again. But see, that's where plan or step number six comes in. And this is create a step-by-step plan. So you have this impossible goal. Psalms 20, verse 4 tells us, may he give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We need to write that down and put it on our visors in our vehicles. So when we get in our cars, he will give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. So we see Eleazar, he designed a simple but a well-thought-out plan to find a wife for Isaac. He took 10 of Abraham's camels with them. He loaded them with the best of everything that Abraham had. He thought, you know what? Women in this country like fine linens. They probably like them there. I've never met a woman that doesn't like gold, doesn't like all this kind of stuff. So if it works here, it's probably going to work there. So he journeys to Nahor, and he has the camels kneel down outside the town beside a well. Now, he's got 10 of these camels. Camels drink a lot of water. I'm not going to go into the anatomy of a camel, but they can drink lots and lots and lots of water. So what does Eliezer do? He prays. He says, Lord, I don't have a clue how to find a woman here. This is paraphrasing. Abraham sends me on this mission. I'm standing beside this well, and when I see a woman that comes to draw water at this well, I'm going to say to her, please give me a little drink of water from your jug. And if she says, yes, you can have a drink. And sir, would you like for me to water all 10 of your camels also? If she says that, Lord, God of Abraham, then I will know that this is the right woman for my master's son. So that's a serious commitment. And that's the kind of woman that Eleazar was looking for. He wanted a woman who was kind. He wanted someone who was generous, someone who had a servant's heart, and someone who was willing to go the extra mile, even if it was not required of them. So, a woman named Rebecca comes up to the well. Don't know how many women came up before that, but a woman from Rebecca named Rebecca offered Eleazar a drink of water, and then she offered to water his camels also. So as we make goals to overcome our barriers and achieve our goals, we got to ask ourselves two more questions here. Once you know what your goal is, what do you plan to do to get there? And that's where you got to start writing stuff down. The second question will determine your schedule. It will determine your deadlines. It will determine a timetable, and it puts your goal into a time frame. How long will this take? This will help us as we begin to think out a course of action. Now, you may be thinking, this is going to take a lot of work. This is going to take a lot of time. Listen, life takes time. Everything we do in life takes time. Don't waste that time. This is where being more productive with your time will help you out in the long run. We only get one shot at life. We don't, at the end of our life, we can't say, well, you know what, I want a do-over. There's no do-overs. Once our life is over, it is over. 95% of all Americans have no written goals. It amazes me that only 5% of Americans have written goals. And of those 5% that have written goals, they are among the highest earning people in this nation. Why is that? It's because successful people are willing to make the sacrifices. They're willing to take and put time, the preparation, time in preparation that people that are unsuccessful just aren't willing to do. So we can either drift through life or we can be directed through life. I would rather be directed and by taking the time to think through where God wants us to be. And that's where step 7 comes in. We have to be patient and we have to be persistent. That's almost contradictory. You see, things you plan aren't going to happen right away. It's going to be slowly, it's going to be steadily, and it's going to be surely. But when the time will approach, when that dream or that vision or that specific goal will become fulfilled or accomplished, and it may seem to be a slow process, but don't despair, don't quit, don't hang it up, for these things will come to pass. Just be patient. I like the saying, God is never early, he is never late, he's always right on time. Just be patient. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 3, in the LB version, it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Nothing great is ever accomplished without persistence as well as patience. Because in order to be successful, our dreams must translate into a four-letter word that's called work. Dreams take work. The people who succeed in life are the people who are willing to do what they don't feel like doing. Don't look at somebody else that's successful in their life and say, how come they're always successful? It's probably because they're always willing to work for it, and you want to sit for it. Just a thought. Don't be mastered by your moods. Some people are very moody. Don't be mastered by your moods. Be mastered by your master. And establish your goals and plans according to God's will. Eleazar was a great example of patience and persistence. He saw his patience in choosing the right woman by making a detailed plan. He was patient enough to follow it through. I don't know how many ladies says, you want a drink, sir? You want a drink, old man? I have no idea how many people offered or how many young ladies offered him something, but he was waiting for that line that if they offer to feed or water the camels also, that's the one. He didn't make a snap judgment. He wasn't impulsive. We read in Genesis 24, 21, without saying a word, he watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey succeed. Later, he got invited over to Rebekah's house for dinner, and we read there in Genesis 24, 33, the food was set before him, and Eleazar, he said, I will not eat until I've told you what I have to say. He wasn't interested in sitting down and eating. He says, I got something to tell you, and before I sit down, I'm going to tell you what I'm here for. Now, personally, I don't know about you, I would have eaten first. But he was focused. He was to the point. If you're going to really reach some of your goals in life, there's a little tiny point that we need to learn from this little statement here. If we're going to reach some goals in life, sometimes we have to delay instant gratification. So many times we want that instant gratification. And God said, just hold on just a little bit. Can you wait a little bit more? We have to do the right thing instead of the fun thing. The right thing instead of the pleasurable thing. I used to work for a man, and I hated it at the time, but I've learned to love this principle in life. When we showed up on the job, we did the hard work first. Sometimes you don't want to do the hard stuff first, but sometimes it's necessary to do the hard stuff first, and then in the afternoon, it's a whole lot easier to sit back and relax. You see, that's the reason why that most of us are in debt as bad as we are in debt. And that's a blanket statement, because we would rather take our credit card out and instantly pay for something than wait for 2 or 3 months before we have the cash to buy it. Because we live in an instant gratification world. You see, we can't afford it, put it on the credit card. It's important for us to learn this lesson, because any goal that's worth achieving is going to have obstacles in the way. And point number 8 is we can't do it by ourselves. You need to enlist a team for support. Ecclesiastes 4:12 in the New Living Translation says, one person standing alone is easily attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three people are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There's an old African proverb, and I don't know if maybe Brother Claude came up with this or not, but it says, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go with others. We think it's important to make a speedy decision, but it's more important to make a right decision. Success is never a one-man job. It takes teamwork. And you have to understand your goals may require someone else to help you get there. You see, God wired it this way because the most important lesson he wants us to learn here on earth is to love one another. other things in life that I understand that we have to do alone. Sometimes there's personal things. I'm not talking about our interpersonal things, but that's why it's important for us to be in a small group. That's why it's important for us to have a church. The stronger your team is, the more you can fulfill your dreams. And then our last point here is step number 9, is success never comes without a price tag. You see, the only thing free in the world is salvation through Jesus Christ, and that's free because Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price on the cross. You see, Eleazar had to pay a price to get Rebekah to come back home with him and to marry Isaac. We read in Genesis 24:53, and he brought out gold, and he laid it out on the table, and he brought out silver, and he brought out articles of clothing, and he gave them to Rebekah, and he also was smart, and he gave expensive gifts to her brother. Got to have a little family buy-in here. It's a team effort for her brother and her mother. But these great goals required a great sacrifice, not just from Eleazar, but also from Abraham. And if our music team can come, in summary here, there are several steps that we need to take that will help get us focused in all of this. And in the series that we were going through at the time about getting a focused life, those were 3 questions. What will it cost me? What is all of this going to cost me? You see, sometimes it's not just a monetary price. I'm not talking about how much money is this going to cost you. What is this going to cost of your time? What is this going to cost of your effort? What is this going to cost of you as a person? What am I willing to give for this? What are you willing to give to have some of your goals in your life that you want to accomplish? What are you willing to give for it? And then you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth the price that I'm going to have to pay? The greatest use of our life is to invest in something that's going to outlast us. Jesus tells us in Mark 8:36, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? So if you could stand to your feet tonight. There's a little acronym in closing here using the word SMART. So if you still have your notebooks out, SMART goals. You could sum this all up in really tonight in the word SMART. S is, are they specific? We have to have specific goals, Brother Dan. Are they measurable? That's where the M comes in. Are our goals measurable? You have to have some measurability in your goal. And we need to set goals that are attainable. Are they attainable? Are they realistic? Are they realistic goals? And are they timely? Are they timely? So when we sit down to make out your goals, pull out that little acronym for SMART. Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. Now to close this off tonight, I just want to ask you, in your own life, where are you going? Where are you going? Sometimes I like to think I know where I'm going and only to find out that maybe I'm not so sure at times. But I want to know where I'm going. I want to know that when I get there, that God is with me on the journey and God is there when I get there. And everything I do, I want to include God in on the journey. I want Him to be my partner. I want Him to be right there leading me, guiding me, and directing me. Because understand, if you're the head of your household, you're the husband, and you make a wrong decision, it's going to affect your family. If I make a wrong decision, it could affect all of you, and I don't want to make a wrong decision. I want to make right goals, godly goals, smart goals. So I just want to open up this chance for you to come down here tonight and just reevaluate who you are, where you are, and where you are going. God, am I going? Are my goals, are they godly goals? Do I have the right goals set? If you could just start singing, Brother Dan, and I just want to open up this altar.